بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. مكتبة الموحدين بالبحر الكاريبي يسعدها تقديم الشيخ عرفات بن حسن المحمدي حفظه الله ورعاه في محاضرة بعنوان الحياء من أجمل صفات المؤمن، وهذا في يوم السبت السادس من محرم 1443 هجري الموافق 14 من أغسطس 2021 الميلادي. وبإذن الله تعالى بعد انتهاء المحاضرة باللغة العربية سيتم ترجمتها لعدة لغات أوروبية. مكتبة موحدين Publications in the Caribbean is pleased to announce a lecture by Sheikh Arafat bin Hassan Muhammadi حفظه الله ورعاه in a lecture titled Shyness and Modesty are from the best of the attributes of the characteristics of the believer. And that's on the day of Saturday, the 6th of Muharram, 1443 Hijri, corresponding to the 14th of August, 2021 Miladi. Inshallah ta'ala, after the Arabic is finished, it will be translated into several European languages. فليتفضل مشكورا مأجورا.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، ففي هذه الليلة الطيبة المباركة إن شاء الله تعالى وفي هذا اللقاء والذي هو بعنوان الحياء من أجمل صفات المؤمن، أقول إن الشرع الكريم أمرنا بحسن الخلق. الشارع أمرنا بحسن الخلق لأن حسن الخلق فيه تزكية النفس، فالمسلم يزكي نفسه بمكارم الأخلاق. فإذا زكى نفسه بمكارم الأخلاق دل ذلك على أنه يسعى لإصلاح قلبه ولكرم نفسه وسجيتها. إذا جاء بالشجاعة حملته هذه الشجاعة على عزة النفس وعلى الأخلاق والشيم. هذه الأربعة الأمور ذكرها العلماء كابن القيم وغيره. وما يهمنا في هذه الليلة هو ما يتعلق بالحياء، فإن الحياء من العفة، فالعفة تحمل المسلم على اجتناب الرذائل واجتناب القبائح، وتحمله على اجتناب الفحشاء والبخل والكذب، وكذلك العدل. إذا كان المسلم جاء بهذا العدل وكان من صفاته، حمله هذا العدل على اعتدال أخلاقه وتوسطه بين الإفراط والتفريط، وحمله على الكرم والجود والسخاء. فإذا نظرت في جميع الأخلاق ستجد أن منشأ هذه الأخلاق من هذه الأربعة: الصبر والعفة والشجاعة والعدل. وفي هذه الليلة المباركة نتكلم عن الحياء، والحياء خلق عظيم. لو نظرنا في سيرة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام والذي أمرنا الله سبحانه وتعالى أن نتأسى به، سنجده عليه الصلاة والسلام كان أشد حياء من العذراء في خدرها، حتى إنه عليه الصلاة والسلام إذا رأى شيئا يكرهه كان يعرف ذلك في وجهه. العذراء هي المرأة البكر، فهو أشد حياء من هذه البكر التي تكون في سترها، والخدر هو ستر في البيت أو في جانب البيت. فكان عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يتكلم لحيائه، ولكن يتغير وجهه فيعرفون أنه يكره هذا الأمر. والحياء شعبة من شعب الإيمان، والحياء لا يأتي إلا بخير، والحياء كله خير. ولهذا كان الصحابة رضي الله عنهم يذكرون من حيائه الشيء الكثير، وهذا الحديث يكفي في بيان حيائه عليه الصلاة والسلام: كان أشد حياء من العذراء في خدرها. ولهذا قبل أن ينزل عليه الوحي عليه الصلاة والسلام؟ قال جابر بن عبد الله: ما رؤي النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام عريانا، لم يرى عريانا عليه الصلاة والسلام. وكان يستحي لما أخبر النساء عن غسل المحيض، سألته تلك المرأة قالت: كيف أتطهر بها؟ فقال: سبحان الله، تطهري بها. واستحيا عليه الصلاة والسلام وأعرض بوجهه، فجاءت عائشة وبينت لهذه المرأة كيف تصنع. إذن كان هذا يدل على حيائه عليه الصلاة والسلام، حتى إنه ليستحي عند قضاء الحاجة، فكان يبتعد بعيدا إذا أراد أن يقضي حاجته، وكان يستتر من الناس فينطلق حتى لا يراه أحد، كما جاء عند أبي داود وعند غيره. وهكذا أيضا استحى من عثمان وقال: ألا أستحي من رجل تستحي منه الملائكة عليه الصلاة والسلام؟ وما سئل عن شيء قط فقال لا، حياء من هذا النبي الكريم عليه الصلاة والسلام. وأشير إلى أن الحياء معناه أن المرء يبعثه الحياء على ترك القبائح، فلا يفرط في الحقوق. فاعلم أنك لو تركت القبائح ولم تفرط في حقوق كل ذي حق فأنت حي وصاحب حياء، لأن هذه حقيقة الحياء. حقيقة الحياء أنه خلق يبعثك هذا الخلق على ترك القبائح وألا تفرط في الحقوق، سواء كانت حقوق الله سبحانه وتعالى أو كانت حقوق الناس. ولهذا قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الإيمان 74 شعبة، وذكر في هذا الحديث فقال: والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما رأى رجلا يعظ أخاه في الحياء ماذا قال له؟ قال: دعه، فإن الحياء من الإيمان. وكذلك قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت. قال العلماء: هذا معناه أمر بالتهديد، أي إذا لم تستحي اصنع ما شئت، أمر تهديد ومعناه الخبر. لهذا أمر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أن نستحي من الله حق الحياء، فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: استحيوا من الله حق الحياء. فقالوا: كيف نستحي يا رسول الله؟ قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: ليس ذلك، ولكن من استحيا من الله حق الحياء فليحفظ الرأس وما وعى، وليحفظ البطن وما حوى، وليذكر الموت وليذكر الموتى والبلى، ومن أراد الآخرة ترك زينة الدنيا، فمن فعل ذلك فقد استحيا من الله حق الحياء. حديث صحيح أخرجه الترمذي في جامعه. وقد يقول قائل: ما معنى هذا الحديث؟ كيف نستحي من الله حق الحياء ونحفظ الرأس ونحفظ البطن؟ الحياء يكون أيضا في الجوارح، فالمسلم الذي يستحي عليه أن يحفظ يده ورجله وعينه، ويحفظ أذنه وفرجه عن الحرام فلا تغلبه الشهوة. لهذا أمر الله سبحانه وتعالى وأمر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كل مسلم أن يستحي. وهذا الحياء لا بد أن يكون حق الحياء، فكيف يكون حق الحياء؟ كما بينه في الحديث الذي ذكرناه آنفا، قال: فليحفظ الرأس وما وعى، فاحفظ عينك واحفظ أذنك واحفظ كذلك يدك ورجلك وفرجك من الحرام. وهكذا أيضا تستر جسدك وتبتعد عن إظهار عوراتك. فالرجل يستر عورته، لا سيما ما بين سرته إلى ركبته، والمسلمة تلتزم بالحجاب. لماذا؟ لأن من شيم النساء العفة والوقار. وكما قال الله: يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن ذلك أدنى أن يعرفن فلا يؤذين. وكذلك أن تستحي في بصرك. الإسلام حرم النظر إلى الحرام، حرم النظر إلى المرأة الأجنبية، أمر المسلمين بأن يغضوا أبصارهم، قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم. كذلك تستحي في لسانك، فلا تقول إلا ما يرضي الله سبحانه وتعالى، لا تقل إلا خيرا. إياك والسب والشتم والغيبة والكذب، فلا تتكلم إلا بخير، لأن الحياء لا يأتي إلا بخير. وهدوا إلى الطيب من القول، وهدوا إلى صراط الحميد. وهكذا أيضا وقولوا للناس حسنا، أمرنا الله أن نقول الخير دائما، والحياء لا يأتي إلا بخير. وهكذا أيضا في فرجك، كن عفيفا مستحيا، فعليك أن تعف نفسك. حتى في مأكلك وفي مشربك كن حييا، فلا تأكل الحرام ولا تشرب الحرام، لأن في الحديث نفسه قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: وليحفظ البطن وما حوى. فلا بد من المسلم أن يستحي فيحفظ بطنه، فيمتنع أن يضع في بطنه لقمة أو شرابا من حرام. إن الله سبحانه وتعالى لا يتقبل من عباده إلا الشيء الطيب، والجسد الذي نبت من الحرام فالنار أولى به. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله، واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون. وهكذا أيضا أن يكون حييا، فلا يمد يده إلى الناس، فيحفظ يده من التسول ومن سؤال الناس، فلا يطلب أموالهم ولا يطلب حاجاتهم. وانظروا في كتاب الله ستجدون أن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد أثنى على الفقراء الذين لا يسألون الناس بسبب حيائهم وعفتهم. يحسبهم الجاهل أغنياء من التعفف، تعرفهم بسيماهم لا يسألون الناس إلحافا. وسؤال الناس أموالهم محرم، لا سيما لمن كان عنده ما يغنيه ولو كان قليلا. هذه الأمور كلها أمر بها النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، هو الذي قال: استحيوا من الله حق الحياء، ثم شرح لأصحابه: فليحفظ الرأس وما وعى، وليحفظ البطن وما حوى، وليذكر الموت والبلاء. هذا من الحياء، لأنك لو ذكرت الموت تأثر قلبك، وإذا ذكرت أيضا البلاء وذكرت الآخرة تركت الدنيا واستحييت من الله حق الحياء، فأتيت بما أمرك الله سبحانه وتعالى، وانتهيت وامتنعت عما نهاك الله عنه من المنهيات ومن المحرمات. ولهذا سنجد أن الحياء له ثمار عظيمة، وهذه الثمار مذكورة في كتاب الله وفي سنة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. وفي المقابل هناك أسباب لنزع الحياء من المسلم. لماذا المسلم لا تجد فيه هذا الخلق؟ وهل هناك ثمار تظهر على هذا الذي ترك الحياء؟ لا شك أن الحياء له معوقات، ومن أعظم هذه المعوقات ضعف الإيمان. أليس قد مر معنا أن الحياء من الإيمان؟ إذن الباعث على الحياء هو الإيمان، والإيمان يرافقه الخوف من الله، ويرافقه الخشية منه جل في علاه. فإذا ضعف الإيمان ضعف الحياء، فالحياء من الإيمان، ونقصه يؤدي إلى الوقوع في المعاصي والوقوع في المنكرات والتدرج في ذلك مع إظهار اتباع خطوات الشيطان. ولهذا ما أجمل ما ذكره ابن القيم رحمه الله في كتابه الجواب الكافي، وهو يتكلم أن من عقوبة المعاصي، من عقوبات المعاصي ذهاب الحياء. إذا كان الإنسان يصنع وللأسف ويقترف المعاصي، فإن من أعظم هذه العقوبات ذهاب الحياء الذي هو مادة الحياة للقلب، والحياء أصل كل خير، فذهابه ذهاب الخير، الحياء خير كله، هكذا يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام كما في صحيح مسلم، الحياء خير كله. وإن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت. إذن هذه من أعظم المعوقات، ضعف الإيمان من أسباب ذهاب الحياء. كذلك أيضا من أسباب ذهاب الحياء الصحبة السيئة. كم من أناس يصحبون أناسا سيئين، فبسبب هذه الصحبة يتأثرون بأخلاقهم ويتأثرون بسوء كلامهم، فتجد هذا الرجل قد نزع منه الحياء لأنه تأثر تأثرا كبيرا بجليسه. وقد جاء في كتاب الله أن الجليس يتأثر بالجليس، ويوم يعض الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا، يا ويلتا ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا، لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني، وكان الشيطان للإنسان خذولا. هذا هو الذي يظهر الندم، لكن في وقت لا ينفعه الندم. فارق طريق الصالحين، فارق طريق العلماء، طريق الجليس الذي ينفعه، جليس الصالح، وذهب يجالس الجلسة، فذهب وذهب يجالس جلساء السوء. قرين السوء هو الذي يدخلك في الفساد وفي المنكرات وينزع منك الحياء. ولهذا قال الله واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم، تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا، ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا. إذن يا أيها العاقل، يا من تريد الخير لنفسه، اجلس مع الذين يذكرون الله، اجلس مع الذين ينفعوك في دينك ودنياك وآخرتك، ولو كانوا فقراء ولو كانوا ضعفاء، ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا وكان أمره فرطا، يعني أن أفعاله وأعماله فيها من السفه، فيها من الضياع، فيها من التفريط، فيها من قلة الحياء، فتتأثر به. فهذه من معوقات الحياء، أنك تصحب صحبة سيئة تدلك على التفريط والضياع والسفه. كذلك أيضا من المعوقات أنك تترك الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر، وهذا ضياع. المنكرات إنما تنتشر عندما يسكت الناس عن إنكار المنكر وعن الأمر بالمعروف، فإذا كنت على هذا فلا حياء لك، لأن الحياء المحمود هو أن تأمر بالمعروف في أهلك، في بيتك، عند زوجتك، عند أولادك، في مجتمعك، في مكان عملك. إذا رأيت الخطأ أمرت بالمعروف، إذا رأيت المنكر قلت له برفق وبرحمة هذا غلط، هذا لا يجوز، هذا منكر، اتركه يا أخي لا تفعله. فهذا كله يدل على الحياء، لأن الحياء من الإيمان ولا يأتي إلا بخير. وهكذا أيضا من أسباب ضياع الحياء في أولادنا وفي أهلينا هذه الوسائل التي صار الإنسان ينظر إليها ليل نهار، وسائل فاسدة مفسدة أخذت الناس إلى الأخلاق السيئة، فترك الناس أخلاقهم إلا من رحم الله. هذه الشبكات وهذه اليوتيوبات والفيس وغيره، هذه من أعظم المعوقات، صار الناس يتتبعونها ويقلدونهم، فنزع منهم الحياء ونزعت منهم العفة. لماذا؟ لأن فيها نشر الرذيلة، فيها نشر الفاحشة، فيها الدعوة إلى خلاف الحياء. فاحذروا أشد الحذر، وحذروا أولادكم ونساءكم، وراقبوا أولادكم في هذه الأمور، فإن الحياء من الإيمان، وعلموا أولادكم الحياء. كذلك أيضا من هذه المعوقات الجهل، لأن الجهل سبب عظيم في أن الإنسان لا يعرف ما هي الأمور التي يستحيى منها. فإذا ما تربى في بيت مسلم يعلمه العفة والحياء، سيقع في أمور تخالف الحياء وتخالف العفة. فلا بد من العلم، ولا بد من التعلم، وإلا سيبقى الإنسان في جهل وظلم. ولا شك أن الجهل والظلم هما أصل كل شر، كما قال الله عن الإنسان: إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. إذن هذه بعض المعوقات، وكثير من الناس أيضا يذهب حياؤه إذا اختلط بالنساء، فإن الكثير يتأثر بهذا الاختلاط فيفقد الحياء. أما الذي يكون بعيدا عن النساء ولا يختلط بهن، لا في عمله ولا في مكان من مجتمعه، ففي الغالب تجده صاحب حياء، ويخشى من اختلاط هذا الرجل، يخشى من أن يختلط مع النساء، لأن الاختلاط مع النساء شر ومرض ويمرض القلوب، خاصة إذا استرجلت المرأة وحصل للرجل أنه دخل في دائرة النساء، فزال عنه الحياء وذهبت عنه العفة والحشمة. فاحذروا أشد الحذر من هذا الاختلاط الذي يبدأ وكأنه شيء يسير، ثم بعد ذلك يتدرج بالإنسان حتى يفقد كثيرا من أخلاقه وحيائه وحشمته وعفته. وللأسف تبرج النساء أيضا من الأسباب التي تعوق الحياء. الله أمر النساء بأن يكن في البيوت وقرن في بيوتكن ولا تبرجن تبرج الجاهلية الأولى، لكن المرأة تركت جلبابها وتركت حياءها، فخرجت واختلطت مع الرجال وأظهرت مفاتنها، ولا شك أن هذه لا حياء لها. لو كانت صاحبة حياء لسمعت بهذا الأمر وعملت به والتزمت بالضوابط الشرعية إذا خرجت من بيتها، فلا تخرج إلا بجلبابها، لا تخرج إلا بإذن وليها، لا تخرج متعطرة ولا تبدي شيئا من جسدها، وتسد كل الذرائع والوسائل التي تجعل الرجال يصلون إليها، فتكون حية عفيفة. ومن أعظم أسباب ذهاب الحياء سماع الغناء، فإنك لو رأيت لهؤلاء السكارى الذين يسمعون الغناء وصاروا سكارى بحب الغناء، ستجدهم من أبعد الناس عن الحياء، وهذا الغناء يوصلهم إلى الاختلاط بالنساء، يوصلهم إلى الرقص، وهكذا من الأشياء الفاحشة التي نخجل ونستحي من ذكرها، وفيها من سوء الأدب، وفيها من الوقاحة. وقد حرم الله سبحانه وتعالى الغناء في كتابه وفي سنة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: ومن الناس من يشتري لهو الحديث ليضل عن سبيل الله بغير علم ويتخذها هزوا، أولئك لهم عذاب مهين. فيا أيها المسلم، زكي نفسك بالحياء، واستقم على شرع الله وطاعته، واحفظ جسدك من الأمراض الفتاكة التي ذكرنا شيئا منها، وأكثر من الدعاء أن يحفظك الله ويحفظ نساءك وأولادك، وأن تكونوا من أهل الحياء، فإنه لا بد من معونة الله سبحانه وتعالى للعبد، فالله عز وجل إذا دعوته دفع عنك ودفع عن أهلك الشر والمخاطر. إن الله يدافع عن الذين آمنوا، إن الله لا يحب كل خوان كفور. فهذه بعض الثمرات أيضا التي يجنيها الإنسان من الحياء: أن يزكي نفسه، أن يستقيم على شرعه، أن يحفظ جسده ويحفظ عرضه، وهكذا أيضا إذا جاء يوم القيامة كان في ظل عرش الرحمن ويغنيه الله عز وجل ويعوضه خيرا في جنات النعيم وفي رضوان منه سبحانه ومغفرة. فهذا أو هذه كليمة مختصرة، أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعلها في ميزان حسناتنا، وأسأله جل في علاه أن يجعلنا من أهل الحياء، ونسأله جل وعلا أيضا أن يزكي أنفسنا بالأخلاق الحسنة، فيحملنا ذلك على اجتناب الرذائل والقبائح من القول والفعل. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك، وصلى اللهم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
جزاكم الله خير يا شيخ، بارك الله فيك.
السلام عليكم.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. طيب، بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الشيخ الدكتور عرفات بن حسن محمدي حفظه الله started his lecture titled Shyness and Modesty are from the most beautiful attributes of the believer by saying بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله and I bear witness there is no Lord to be worshipped in truth without any partners except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I bear witness that Muhammad is a servant and messenger. Peace and blessings upon him, his family, his companions till the day of judgment and those who follow in his footsteps till the day of judgment thereafter. The best of the speech is the speech of Allah and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. And the worst of the matters are the newly innovated matters in the religion, and every newly innovated matter is a bid'ah, is an innovation, and every innovation is a misguidance, and every misguidance is in the hellfire. We seek refuge of Allah for us and you from the hellfire. On this blessed night and this wonderful meeting, we address our lecture titled Al-Haya, or Shyness is from the most beautiful attributes or characteristics of the believer. It is from the affairs of the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the Sharia, there are many, many commands regarding to have the best of manners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the legislator, commanded us to be upon the best of manners. Because through the best of manners, you can educate yourself. You can purify your soul. The Muslim must purify himself with the most honorable of manners. And the proofs are many for that. This is why the Muslim has to strive upon rectifying his heart and honoring himself and purifying his actions as well as his intentions and heart and so on. As Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned, and we had an interruption in the connection here, so I'm going to mention what I caught from the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim, which the Sheikh explains later. He said, Ibn al-Qayyim said, there are four matters that the believers must be upon. One of them is al-shaja'a, or courage, because courage will carry the Muslim upon having an honorable soul or an honorable manners. What's really our concern tonight in this lecture, what Ibn al-Qayyim said regarding al-haya, or shyness. Al-haya, or shyness, is from al-iffa, or chastity. And al-iffa, or chastity, will make the person avoid all kind of lewd and wicked and evil actions, including but not limited to stinginess, lying, and so on. Also, from the manners Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned in his statement was al-adl, justice. If a person is upon justice or fairness, then the person will always strive to have his manners upon the middle path or upon a moderation
And this moderation would be always in the middle between ifrat and tafrit, meaning between negligence and going to extremism. Wal-iyadu billah. Al-adl, or justice or fairness, will make the person to be upon generosity as well as good etiquettes. Also, from what mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim was as-sabr or patience. So the four that Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, his statement that we missed in totality, was as-sabr, patience, al-iffah, chastity or haya, shyness, as-shaja'a, courage, and al-adl, justice or fairness. And tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we'll talk about al-haya. And al-haya is a great honorable manner. If we are to look at the history or the seerah of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and what he sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to take as a role model from him, amongst other things, that he had the most haya, the most shyness. He had more haya than a chaste woman or a virgin girl in her own abode. So much so that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees anything that he hates, you will see that upon his face. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees something that he hated, you would know that from his face. The Sahaba would know that from his face, alayhi salatu wasalam. And a chaste woman or al-adhra or a virgin is a woman that never been married. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to be more shy than a virgin woman that is hiding in her own home. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon so much shyness, he would not talk when he sees something he hates. But the Sahaba would know that he hates that affair due to his face changing, or due to the change on his face. Al-haya, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, is also one of the branches of Iman. Al-haya will always bring about everything that is good, and will never bring about anything but what is good. Again, shyness or haya will never bring about anything but what is good, and will always bring everything that is good. This is why the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah be pleased with them all, used to mention so many instances of the shyness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including the statement that was famous about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the companions, that he had more haya or more shyness than a virgin woman that is hiding in her own abode or her own home. This is why also mentioned in the history of the Prophet والسلام, that even before the wahy or the revelation was revealed upon him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jabir ibn Abdullah, the Sahabi, mentioned that the Prophet والسلام, even before he became a prophet and a messenger, was never seen naked in any shape or form. And he would, alayhi salatu wasalam, after becoming a prophet and a messenger, he would even shy when he's talking to the women, as was the instance when he talked to the women about making their ghusl or cleansing themselves from al-hayd or the postpartum menses or after their monthly period. And when one of the Sahabiyat, one of the female companions, said, "How can we do that, O Prophet of Allah?" Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered her by saying, "Subhanallah, you clean yourself with it, with that any object," and so on. And he was shying from continuing to explain the details of that. Then Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the mother of the believers, came and clarified to the Sahabiyya, to the female companions, how can she clean herself from her menses. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known to even shy away, even when it comes to answering the call of nature, when using the bathroom or the toilet. He would go so far away to a point where nobody would be able to see him, as it was narrated by Abi Dawood about him, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even shied from his companion Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and he said,
How can I not be shy from a man that even the angels are shying from? Our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was narrated about him by the companions that he never was asked about anything and he said no, meaning that not a single human being came to him with a need and he turned him down. And that was from his haya or from his shyness. And the meaning of haya is Sheikh Arafat ibn Hassan Muhammadi Habadallah said that a person due to his shyness will leave anything that is evil, anything that is lewd or wicked. And a person will never be negligent regarding the rights of others upon him. So you, as the Shaykh Habdallah said, know that if you leave all kind of evil actions and all kinds of wicked actions and did not become negligent regarding the rights of others upon you, then you are fulfilling the reality of haya. You are fulfilling the reality of shyness. These rights actually include the rights of Allah upon you. Also, the rights of the creation and the people upon you. As our Prophet ﷺ mentioned the hadith that al-Iman or belief is 70 odd branch. And he mentioned that al-Haya is a branch from al-Iman, is one of those branches. When the Prophet ﷺ saw a man advising his brother on affairs of Haya, he told him, leave him, because haya is from iman, meaning let him keep advising his brother because al haya is from the iman. It was known amongst the sahaba that from what is left from prophethood before the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and their speech is a famous statement: if you are not to be shy, so do whatever you want. If you are not upon haya, so do whatever you want, wal-iyadu billah. And the scholars of the Sunnah said regarding the statement, this is a command including a threat or a promise to you, wal-iyadu billah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you're not upon shyness, then do whatever you want. This is why it was said, it's upon you as a believer to be shy with your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the way shyness should be fulfilled and all of its rights. Then the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, how can we do so, O Prophet of Allah? Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, not like this, but whoever is shying from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he must preserve the head and what it contains, and must preserve the stomach and what it contains. And he or she must remember death and calamities. And whoever remembered the affairs of the hereafter, then he'll leave off the beauty of this world of ours. Whoever does so, then he or she is upon haya, the way it should be. Then he or she is upon haya, or shyness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a way that is appropriate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith is mentioned in Sahih al-Tirmidhi. What is the meaning of this hadith? As the Shaykh said, hafidhahullah, how can you preserve your head and your stomach, for example, as mentioned in the hadith? As to preserving the stomach and a head and the head and be upon shyness, by applying that shyness to all of your limbs, to all of your senses, including your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your hands, your feet, by withholding all of your senses and all of your limbs from anything that is prohibited by Allah and His Messenger. So do not ever leave your whims and desires freely roaming, wal-iyadu billah, and taking over your body or your soul or your heart, wal-iyadu billah. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us and commanded every Muslim to be upon haya and upon shyness. This form of haya must be fulfilled according to the rights that Allah stated subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to the way Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated to us, so you must preserve the head and what it contains. Meaning you must preserve your head, including your eyes, your ears, your mouth, and so on. And that extends to your hands, your feet, by withholding all of your senses and all of your limbs from what is haram or prohibited. Also, you must protect and cover your body properly according to the sunnah, as especially your awra, especially the men. The men must cover the area from below the knees all the way up to the navel, all the way to above the navel. And the women must cover all of their body, because it is from the beautiful characteristics of women is to be upon waqar, to be upon modesty, which is from the haya. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 59, O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to draw their cloaks or veils all over their bodies. That is to screen themselves completely except the eyes or one eye to see the way. That will be better for them. That they should be known as free, respectable women, so as not to be annoyed. And Allah is ever oft forgiving, most merciful. Al-Islam, this beautiful religion of ours, prohibited looking at women that are foreign to us. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us in the Quran, in Surah An-Nur, verse 30, tell the believing men to lower their gaze from looking at forbidden things, and protect the private parts from illegal sexual acts, etc. That is purer for them. Verily, Allah is all aware of what they do. Also, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us in several other ayat and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many narrations, Allah and His Prophet commanded us to also stay away from cursing, insulting, backbiting, slander, and other than that, from the affairs that are deemed wicked or lewd or evil in Islam and in the Sunnah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hajj, verse 24, and they are guided in this world unto goodly speech, that is, La ilaha illallah, Alhamdulillah, recitation of the Quran, etc. And they are guided to the path of Him, that is the path of Allah's religion of Islamic monotheism, who is worthy of all praises. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 83, and remember when we took a covenant from the children of Israel, saying, worship none but Allah alone, and be dutiful and good to parents, and be kindred, and to orphans, and in masakeen the poor, and speak good to the people, that is to enjoin righteousness and forbid evil, and say the truth about Muhammad, peace be upon him, and perform a salah, iqamat as-salah, and give the zakah, then you slid back, except a few of you, while you are backsliders. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to these ayat, these verses in the Quran, commanded us to always say what is good, and stay away from saying what is evil. And the same applies to all of your affairs, as the Shaykh Hafidhullah said. You must be chaste, and you must be upon shyness, even in your drink, even in your food. You do not want to eat anything that is prohibited, and you do not want to drink anything that is prohibited. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that we mentioned earlier, and you must preserve your stomach and what it contains. So it's a must upon you as a believer to be upon shyness. And beware of putting a morsel of food or any drink that is derived or came from a source that is haram or prohibited, wal-iyadu billah. Because as our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept what is tayyib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept what is good. As our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us in another hadith, and he said, and the body, the human being, that was raised upon money or upon sustenance that was earned from what is prohibited, then the fire or the hellfire, wal'iyadu billah, has more priority to it, has precedence over it, wal'iyadu billah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 172, O you who believe in the oneness of Allah, Islamic monotheism, eat of the lawful things that we have provided with you, that we have provided you with, and be grateful to Allah. It is indeed He whom you worship. And the same applies to the hands of the believers. Your hand must only be upon shyness. So you do not ask the people for anything that you need. And you do not ask the people for the wealth. And you do not try, wal'iyadu billah, take something from the people that they need. Look at the book of Allah and how He praised the poor that never ask anybody for the needs. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 273, its charity is for fuqara, the poor, who in Allah's cause are restricted from travel and cannot move about in the land for trade or work. The one who knows them not thinks that they are rich because of their modesty. You may know them by their mark. They do not beg of people at all. And whatever they spend, whatever you spend in good, surely Allah knows it well. These matters, as the Sheikh said, continued and said, Hafidhahu Allah, are commands from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based upon the evidence and proofs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That command in which He told us, Istahyu, be upon shyness and modesty in regards to your Lord, or regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or according to the rights of shyness that Allah and His Prophet legislated for us. So you must preserve your head, and you must preserve your stomach, and you must always remember death as a believer to the end of the hadith. Because when you remember death, when you remember the calamities and the disasters around you that's happening all over the world, then you would be willing to leave off this world of ours and not be interested in more than what Allah legislated for you to take. And you would be upon shyness and modesty, and you would be staying away from what Allah forbid you from. This is why we find also that the matter of haya, the matter of modesty and shyness, has great fruits upon the believer, male and female. And these fruits are mentioned in the book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But also opposing these fruits, there are reasons, wal'iyadu billah, that may take away shyness away from the believer. So you have to remember, just as there are fruits that shows upon the believer due to his shyness and modesty, there are also reasons that may take the shyness and modesty away from the believer. Wal'iyadu billah. So what prevents haya, what prevents shyness and modesty from coming or happening with the believer? The first of which is weakness of iman. The weakness of iman. Then we learn the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he told us that al-haya is from al-iman. That what really encourages a believer to be upon haya or shyness or modesty is to be upon iman, upon belief and strong belief. But also what goes hand in hand with iman is al-khawf wal-khashyah min Allah, is fear and extreme fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we learn that when your iman is weak as a believer, then your haya will be weak, wal'iyadu billah, or deficient. And when the haya is weak or deficient, wal'iyadu billah, that will lead the believer in falling into sins and evil deeds, wal'iyadu billah. And if the believer falls into evil sins, wal'iyadu billah, or evil actions and sins, then step by step, the believer will end up following the steps of the shaitan, the devil, or Satan, wal-iyadu billah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned in his book Al-Jawab al-Kafi that it is from the punishment of falling into sins for the believer is that Allah takes the haya or shyness away from them, or modesty is taken away from them. This is why when a man, wal-iyadu billah, falls into evil deeds, that will lead that human being to suffer from the greatest of punishment, which is haya or shyness being taken away from them. Al-haya or shyness or modesty is the substance of being alive for the heart. Al-haya or shyness or modesty is the substance of this life for the heart. As our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Sahih Muslim, Al-haya khayrun kulli. That haya or shyness or modesty, all of it is good for the believer. As we learned also from the common statements amongst the companions, that the people, from what the people caught from previous prophets and messengers and their speech, the famous statement that if you are not upon shyness or modesty, then do whatever you will. Wal-iyadu billah. Also from the reasons for shyness or modesty to be taken away, wal-iyadu billah, is bad or evil companionship. Because as we know from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and different proofs and evidence, how many people that you know are affected by the manners and the evil speech of others around them? You find a man, for example, have lost his haya or shyness due to his companions. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat in Surah Al-Furqan, verse 27, and remember the day when the zalim, the wrongdoer, the oppressor, the polytheist, etc., will bite at his hands. He will say, oh, would that I had taken a path with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the ayat continue, in which, in Surah Al-Furqan, verse 28, oh, woe to me, would that I had never taken so-and-so as a friend. Then in ayah, verse 29, he indeed led me astray from the reminder from this Quran after it had come to me. And the shaitan, Satan, is ever a deserter to man in the hour of need. As the Shaykh Hafidhahullah said, and I fear for you what I fear for myself, that you will regret what you do while you're still alive, what you have done when you were alive at a time when regret will not benefit you anymore, meaning when you're asked about your actions in the grave and in the hereafter. So you must stick to the path of the scholars and the righteous, because the path of the scholars and the righteous is the path to haya and iman. Do not be from those that leave off righteous companions and go to evil companions, wal-iyadu billah, because an evil companion will enter you into corruption and will lead you to shyness being taken away from you, wal-iyadu billah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 28, and keep yourself, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, patiently with those who call on the Lord. That is, your companions who remember the Lord with glorification, praising and prayers, etc., and other righteous deeds, etc., morning and afternoon, seeking his face. And let not your eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp and glitter of the life of the world, and obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, one who follows his own lusts and whose affair deeds have been lost, wal-iyadu billah. So if you are a reasonable person, if you are a man or a woman that have any intellect, you must be wanting good for yourself. For those that want good, but for those who want nothing but good for themselves, You must sit with those that make you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even of those who remember Allah are deemed to be weak by others around them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in the ayat that we mentioned earlier, and do not, and let not your eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp and glitter of the life of the world, and obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, one who follows his own lusts and whose affair deeds has been lost. Wal-iyadu billah. Meaning, as the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah, the one that whose action, wal-iyadu billah, is upon so much foolishness and so much loss, wal-iyadu billah, and so little shyness, that kind of person will affect you in so many bad ways or so many evil ways. And these are just some of the means that will take shyness or modesty away from you, including bad companionship, amongst other things. Also, leaving off commanding good and forbidding evil. A person that does not command the good and forbid the evil, that is a person that have no shyness or modesty, wal-iyadu billah. Because the praiseworthy haya or shyness or modesty that you as a believer to command good and forbid evil, and that applies everywhere you go, starting with yourself, your family, your house, your community, your neighborhood, your society, your country, and so on. That when you as a believer see what is wrong, you must state so, and you must say it in a way that the people will accept it from you. Meaning, you must say it upon gentleness and mercy, so the people will take it from you. It is a grave mistake amongst the believers to not command the good and forbid the evil. And what is a command from Allah upon you is that you stated to whoever has fallen into a mistake or something that is wrong, to tell him, please leave it off, do not do it, and so on. Because these are from the reasons that shyness and modesty are taken away from our own kids. Also, from the means and ways, wal-iyadu billah, that lead to loss of shyness and modesty is all the different devices that human beings are looking at nowadays, day and night. Because these so-called devices, these so-called gadgets, do not give except bad manners and evil etiquettes and so on, wal-iyadu billah. And it becomes from the ways that get between you and your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you see the people, al-iyadu billah, following whatever they follow upon these gadgets and these so-called social forums and so on, and try to imitate what they see on those screens. And you see from these screens or these gadgets and devices, nothing but is spreading lewd and wicked actions, wal-iyadu billah, amongst the people. So beware, beware. And warn your families, warn your kids and your children and your relatives about these devices and these gadgets. And teach them what haya, shyness and modesty is all about. Also from the ways that get between you and being upon haya as a believer is ignorance. Ignorance has always been a great reason for so many evil things in this life of ours. Because a person who does not know the affairs that should be shying from will never be upon these matters. If a person does not find a person, another, to teach him al-haya, teach him shyness and modesty, how a person, that person will never learn matters of chastity either. So it's a must upon the believer to be upon knowledge and seeking the knowledge. It's upon the believer to keep that knowledge in your home, with yourself and others around you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about human beings in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 72, truly we did other We did offer al-amana, the trust or moral responsibility or honesty, and all the duties which Allah has ordained to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, but they declined to bear it and were afraid of it, that is, afraid of Allah's torment. But man bore it. Verily, he was unjust to himself and ignorant of its results. So these are some of the matters that get between you and honesty and between you and modesty and shyness. So many of the people lose their haya when they mingle with people that are not upon the way of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. For example, as the Sheikh said, the matter of free mixing between men and women. The matter of free mixing is a very evil matter, and it is deemed from the sicknesses of the hearts, especially when you see women trying to act like men, and you see men inside the circles of women, wal'iyadu billah. So beware of mingling with the opposite sex, because free mixing, if you want to call it that, it starts normally as something small, then step by step will get the person to such a low point of lackness of chastity and modesty and shyness, wal'iyadu billah. And from the means that are very unfortunate that leads to that is the fact that women beautify themselves in front of foreign men, or women are upon tabarruj, that they go out their homes not covered properly. Remember the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 33. And stay in your houses, and do not display yourselves like that of the times of ignorance. And perform a salah, and give the zakah, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah wishes only to remove rizq, evil deeds and sins, etc. from you, O members of the family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to purify you with a thorough purification. This is a command, as the Shaykh said, Hafidhahu Allah, for all of the women of the believers. When a woman, wal'iyadu billah, leaves off the proper covering of Islam, which is a jilbab outside their homes, and show her beauty to foreign men, that no doubt shows us that this woman have no more modesty and no more shyness, wal'iyadu billah. But when a woman, when a believing woman, sticks to the guidelines of the sunnah in covering herself properly, and does not leave her house without the permission of her wali, meaning she only leaves the house after taking permission from her guardian, and never leaves the house with scent upon her, with a smell upon her. And also, when she leaves the house, she makes sure that she closes all the means and ways, or avoids all the means and ways that may make a man try to reach out to her, wal'iyadu billah. That is a true believing woman. Also, from the means and ways that lead to the loss of haya is listening to songs and singing, wal'iyadu billah, that make people come to a point that they're drunk, wal'iyadu billah, with what they're listening to. You find those that listen to songs and singing and music, you find them the furthest of the people away from shyness and haya and modesty. And you find them actually, due to the fact that they listen to singing and music, that eventually they lead them to free mixing with the opposite sex and dancing and other things that we as believers shy away from mentioning right now. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited singing and music. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah Luqman, verse 6, and of mankind is he who purchases idle talks, that is music and singing, etc., to mislead men from the path of Allah without knowledge.
and takes it, meaning the path of Allah, the verses of the Quran, by way of mockery, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. For such, there will be a humiliating torment in the hellfire. So dear Muslim brother and sister, purify yourself with being upon shyness and modesty. Preserve your body from all kind of destructive diseases and ailments. And ask upon your Lord. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve you and preserve your children, your offspring, as well as your women from such evil effects of loss of shyness and modesty. Because it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you call upon Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's only Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that is able to push away from you such evil matters and push such evil matters away from your family and your offspring and such dangers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hajj, verse 38, truly Allah defends those who believe. Verily Allah likes not any treacherous ingrate to Allah, those who disobey Allah but obey shaitan or Satan. Wal-iyadu billah. As the Shaykh continued and said, Hafidhahullah, and these are some of the fruits that you as a believer will harvest due to being upon shyness and modesty, that you will be able to purify yourself, that you'll be able to preserve your body, and you'll be able to preserve your honor. And on the day of judgment, you may become from those that are, will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will compensate you and recompense you in all ways that is good. And this was just a short talk, a summary. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us in our scales of good deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us anew upon haya, upon shyness and modesty. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those that purify ourselves with good manners. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those that are preserved from all kind of lewd and evil actions. Ameen, ameen. And to here, we come to a stop. And in conclusion, we say, I say as a translator, anything that I said that is correct is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anything that I said that is not correct is only from myself and or from the shaitan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.